Our sermon now also comes from Psalm 18. That's on page 560 in your pew Bible. Psalm 18, page 560. We'll start the reading at verse 25 and read through verse 31. We just sang everything leading up to this. Psalm 18, starting with verse 25. I'm going to suggest a different translation in this first line there, rather than merely kind, but consider it merciful. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you show yourself astute. And I'm going to adjust that and also translate that crooked, and I'll explain why. And with the crooked, you show yourself crooked. For you save an afflicted people, but haughty eyes you abase. For you light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? Pray with me. Our Father, help us to come eagerly to hear you, to be excited about you unpacking truth for us. Help us as we comb out the cords of our heart to make them straight, to uncross things that ought not be crossed, to understand the straight lines, to understand the straight paths, to understand wisdom and virtue and truth and prudence. God, help us to understand love, real love that is patient, that is kind, that is beautiful, that is glorious, that is eternal. Help us to walk in accordance as we adjust our thinking, as we adjust our affections, that you will be most glorified in us. We love you and we thank you for all that you are giving us. We thank you for the word that you are proclaiming to us. We pray, Father, that these seeds will find fertile soil now in our hearts and that beautiful fruit will grow from the word that is now being planted, that we will know you, that we will glorify you, that we will be enjoying you now and forevermore. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is a beautiful statement. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. There is that struggle in our lives as we deal with the cart and the horse in our salvation and in our sanctification. A picture is given that we'll be good. And in this place of being good, we are saved. But we understand that we are good in Christ as we are tied to Christ, as we follow Christ, as Christ takes us along in this world. It is Christ who is merciful. It is Christ that is pure. It is Christ that is righteous. And as you and I are in Christ, loving Christ, following Christ, we find ourselves more and more made loving, more and more made merciful, more and more with clean hands, more and more with a pure heart. That is the beautiful picture of sanctification, being made more like Christ in our lives as we're clinging to Christ, as we're following Christ. All of us have had the example of bad company corrupting good morals in our lives. These things that draw us off, these things that take us aside. But we look, and I invite you to this place of being in Christ, rejoicing being in Christ. So the call for you this morning is cling to the merciful one. And as you are there, show yourself merciful. Our first step rely on the merciful one. Verse 25, with the merciful, you show yourself merciful. I'm making this merciful intentionally. Kind can be generic. Kind can simply just mean being nice to someone. People are nice to their dogs. It's not necessarily doesn't have a merciful depth to it. We can tell someone to go first, go before us. That can be kind, but it's not the same form of merciful that we're talking about. Consider the picture that had just been before us in Psalm 18b. There's a huge wrath coming. A huge judgment coming. Heaven being bowed or bowed and coming down. Flashes of lightning. Terrifying scenario. Terrifying situation. Jesus Christ coming back to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart with a double-edged sword. Very different picture. The mercy that is being shown, that is being talked about, rather than inviting someone else at a stop sign to go first. Very different than being nice or kind to a dog. We have the picture of a wrath, a fury, a just judgment that is about to be poured out on all mankind. And instead, God shows himself merciful to us. And as we have been loved, we learn to love and to extend that mercy out. Loving because we have first been loved. This merciful is specifically described as an attribute of God in Jeremiah 3:12. Go and proclaim these words to the north and say, "Return, faithless Israel," declares the Lord. "And I will not look upon you in anger, for I am gracious," or "I am merciful," is a great translation. "For I am merciful," declares the Lord. "I will not be angry forever." Psalm 145, 17, "The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and merciful in all his deeds." We see that when we are in this place of relying on his mercy, that is relying on his charity, relying on his grace, is the only place to be saved. It is the only rescue. It puts us in a place of humility where we're bowing our head toward the Lord, relying on him and rejoicing in him. That is the place of humility that's described in verse 27. "For you save an afflicted people." This is a people who are afflicted by their grief and their guilt by their sin. We see the contrast, "but haughty eyes you abase," the proudful you hate, you overthrow, you undo, you judge. Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth," God says, I hate. There is the place for hate in the character of God. As before, as in connection with his mercy, he is just. We rely on the merciful one, relying on his mercy. And that's throwing off our self-righteousness. It's mercy by which we are saved. Christ is the merciful one. So our second step is follow the merciful one. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. Philippians 2, 3 through 8. "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit." Consider the pride that would be involved in that. "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit." That's a prideful place. The contrast then, "but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Consider this position that we are to have. Consider the people that you have your tensions with and your anger with. Consider the people that you consider lower than yourself and their qualities, in their habits, their behaviors, and maybe even specifically here, in their treatment towards you. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did? While we were enemies, Christ died for us. Can you consider or manufacture or think of or imagine any other view of mercy that's greater than specifically that? That is the mercy the Father has shown you in Christ. That is the mercy Christ demonstrated, even calling out, "Father, forgive them," in the midst of his murderous death. And yet you and I can hate someone for looking at us sideways, for speaking some unkind word, or for some almost meaningless gesture towards us. And I'm sure you can also find greater crimes that you have despised people for, but nothing greater than murdering you naked on a cross in front of the church and everyone. He took on the form of a bondservant. And so this means if we are doing less than that, we are operating from selfish and empty conceit, as Philippians 2:3 says. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Jesus lays this out as the picture of following him, the picture of being his disciple in Luke 9:23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. And that's what Jesus did, right? He didn't consider equality with God something to be held on to, but he released it. Emptied himself, took on the form of a bondservant. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. That is even letting go of your rights. And take up his cross daily and follow me. This is following the merciful one. Ephesians 4:31 through 32. Here's a picture. Take this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I recently heard this statement that if there is something that happened more than 6 months ago that injured you, and you still have a visceral or an angry response to the memory of it, it's something you haven't properly dealt with. Something that you haven't worked out. For you and me, this would mean something that I have not brought to Christ, that I have not laid at his feet, something that I have not forgiven. This is the very picture of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. And consider then, hasn't it resulted in slander in your life? Isn't that the reality? Following the merciful one means Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Now, I'm sure you have calluses on your heart. I mean, when do you get a callus? You get a callus when there's been abrasion. Again and again in your life. We all have it. We live in a sinful world. Our hearts have been rubbed with rough people, with rough corners in their lives as we have had to live with one another. It is a reality. That is natural. You are specifically being called to the supernatural. The work of Christ. Meditating on him. Learning from him. Take my yoke upon you, he says. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Doesn't your bitterness and wrath and clamor hold you back? Isn't it a cord of death that would even drag you to Sheol? Jesus says, put it off. Follow me. That is, follow the merciful one. And as we consider our sanctification and justification with the merciful, you are showing yourself merciful. Our next step, number three, is follow the blameless one. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. And I just want to take that one, crumble it up, and throw it away, because I am so far from blameless. I can't get through a day being blameless. I can't get through a morning being blameless. I can't pull it off. The Hebrew word literally translated means complete and sound. It's like a strong, sound foundation or something that's been built strong and sound. You grab it and you try to give it a shake and you're like, wow, that is solid. That is strong. I can't move it. I can't change it. It is secure. We see this place in God in verse 30. As for God, his way is blameless. Another place that this word for blameless shows up in Ezekiel 43:25, it's referring to a sacrifice that's blameless, that's without spot, that is pure. That is Christ Jesus. He is pure. He is blameless. He has been tempted or tested in every way and yet has been found without sin. I hope you with me are able just to fall back, let your jaw drop and say, and there's Jesus again. There he is again. There is the one I actually need. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless, and let us run to Christ and grab a hold of him and hang on to him and say, and may I be counted blameless with you as I stand with you. And it's beautiful that the one who comes to me, I will never cast off. He says, yes, yes, come with me, walk with me, be blameless with me. Our fourth step is follow the pure one. It is the same picture. It's as if he's unpacking it, saying he is merciful. He is blameless. He is pure. This purity, there is a sincerity to it as well as a testedness to it. It is the very picture of what we saw in Hebrews 4:14. Jesus having been tested in every way, and yet being perfectly without sin. Now this clinging to Jesus, this holding on to him, count me blameless with you. This purity as well though, this purity of walking in him, walking with him. You can't hold on to him and go walking along with him and keep running into your sin. He says, no, stay here. No. Come back. No, Get out of that mess. Get out of that sin. Get out of that death. Following the pure one will look like you yourself analyzing your heart to move towards purity. Our next step is find your deviant behavior. I'm enjoying the word deviant and devious lately. To move or stray from the straight path. I really enjoyed studying verse 26. With the crooked you show yourself, and if you're looking at the NASB, it says show yourself astute. Some translations, with the crooked you show yourself crooked. The King James does it. With the crooked you show yourself crooked. It's a fair translation. They're both good translations. The struggle is he actually uses two different Hebrew words for crooked here. You're with the crooked, you show yourself crooked. But for some reason, it's not the same thing. I don't like to think of God as crooked. When we talk about us being crooked, we say, there's something wrong. I'm bent in some way. Perhaps you'll remember, at one point I was demonstrating with the crooked or the bent. They'll be flipped by their own sin. I've described that in wrestling. If you can get a hold of someone and you can stop the center of them and you can pull the top of them, you can feel where they're off balance enough, just enough to throw them. If you watch people, I've noticed if I shake somebody's hand and I can give a little pull. And if I give a little pull, I can notice when they're off balance just enough that if I wanted to, I can give them a little fling and I can throw them a bit. There's a crookedness, a twistedness to where someone is off balance and in danger of falling. Reading through the Proverbs, it keeps describing the upright. We think of that as morally, and that's a right way to think of it. But this upright, standing up straight, not in so much danger of being pulled aside or twisted or thrown down or flung down. There's also the straight, as it talks about, the straight path that we're to be moving specifically towards Jesus Christ. That's the goal, and it talks about going to the left or going to the right. Don't do that, it says. Proverbs 4, guard your heart, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. And it also says, let your eyes look straight ahead of you. There's this singular direction, a singular place for your eyes, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We are going there. And when we take our eyes off of that, we're in trouble. I knew an old man when I first got saved, very old man. He was so old he could remember the owners of the first two vehicles in Mingo Junction, the nearest town to which he rode his horse to get there, to go to the store. And it was described of him, you would see him plowing with his horse in the field. And people would drive by and they would wave to him. And they would think they were being ignored because he wouldn't wave back. When questioned about it, he described, no, when you're plowing and you're in this field, you've got to set your eye exactly where you want to go and not take your eyes off of it, or your plow is going to go this way or that way. There is a necessary direction. But here we look and we see with the crooked, this is those bent over in danger of falling. Your sin bends you over in a bad direction, makes you in danger of falling. Your sin also, rather than aiming and shooting directly at Christ, there's this trail where we start to deviate. We turn, we become devious, or perverted is also that twisting and turning away. Think morally in our culture, the things that are perverse, perverted, deviating from nature, for example. With the perverted, with the deviant, or with the crooked, you show yourself crooked. When I did a search for this word, for this specific Hebrew word, for the version of crooked that God will do, I was stunned to find in Genesis 38, I twisted with my sister would be a way to translate this specific word. And I thought, well, that's absolutely not helpful. I twisted with my sister. How do we work that out? Well, that when you look at it, though, it's when Rachel and Leah were having their baby-making competition to see who could get to make the babies for their husband. And one comes in and says, I wrestled with, is the way we translate it, a literal translation, and I twisted with my sister. She bent this way, I bent this way. I came up victorious. The idea is that God has set this straight path for you. You're to go that way, but if we deviate, think, I can turn and I can get away from him. I twist, it says, nah, he twists. He'll meet you. You're not going to escape. You think you can turn away from him? No. There is no escape. With the twisted, you twist. You catch them. You judge them. You hold them accountable. Proverbs 22:5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse, the twisted, the one going off the course. As we're looking at the context of being merciful, do we think that we can deny mercy? Do we think that we can have bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander? That we can twist and bend off that course and he won't catch us? That we can receive mercy upon mercy upon mercy. That we can have eternal damnation removed from us by Christ's death and sacrifice. And then say, but I don't have to be merciful. I can be bitter. I can have wrath and anger and clamor and even the slander overflow from my heart into the streets, into the church, and be guiltless? No. No. Listen to your heart. And I don't mean that and listen to it and do whatever it says. Check for your slander. Check for your visceral responses to people, your angry responses to people. Face to face, eyeball to eyeball, or even in your heart. Where are you angry? Why are you angry? What bitterness, what wrath do you have? Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. This place of anger and wrath and dissension is that perverted path. It is the threat. It is the warning. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. But with the crooked, you show yourself crooked. It is who he is. It is his announcement. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. So our sixth step is repent. We see the necessary work. We see the warning. With the crooked, you show yourself crooked. You're going to get caught. You're going to get caught. And it is a mercy if you're caught in public. It's a mercy if you're only caught by members of your household. It's a mercy if you're only caught by an elder warning you of your course. It is a mercy if you're only caught by man. It is a mercy if you're only caught by the church and your sin is announced to the church. It is a dreadful and terrible thing if you make it to the day of judgment and have not repented. As for the Lord, his way is blameless. We see in verse 30, the second portion, the word of the Lord is tried. It is tested. Let it run you to Hebrews. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of your heart. all things are laid open and bare, or naked is a good way to translate it too, before him with whom we have to do. We are to be dealing specifically with our hearts. I was confronted with a good teaching this past week. This comes from Thomas Watson's book, The Doctrine of Repentance. And he offers ingredients for true repentance. And it's in your outline, so you don't have to scramble to write it all down now. But I urge you to look at this. Ingredients for true repentance. Recognition of sin. Sorrow for sin. Confession of sin. Shame for sin. Hatred for sin. And turning from sin. This is a good work. You want a good job to do? You want good work to do? As you confess your sin in your prayer life, look and see, have I really repented? Am I really repentant? Am I really repenting? Is it what I'm doing with my life? Because with the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you show yourself crooked. Cling to the merciful one and show yourself merciful. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you announce reality to us. You give us sound warnings for the discipline that is ahead if we will not obey and love you. Our God, give us that fertile soil in our hearts. Lord, for those of us, any of us that have felt any form of conviction now, do not allow the adversary to come and steal the seeds that have been planted. Do not allow us to be choked out by the world, the distractions, the temptations, the afflictions of the world. But we pray, our Father, that these seeds that are planted now will grow up. We'll have beautiful, fruitful branches in our lives, that you will be being glorified in the ways that we follow Christ, in our mercy, in our love, in increasing purity in our hearts and in our lives. Our God, we love you. Make us humble to follow you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.